G'day, everybody, and welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up. Matt McCarthy here at Studio 34 at the Fantasy Sports Network. I have the pleasure of my guests being with me today, Mr. Luke Hume, Mr. Ken Pape. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good to be here. Looking forward to having a chat.
First off, Mr. Luke Bruce Bogan Hume, when you were just a wee lad racing up and down Captain Cook Drive, did you anticipate being here? You know, Captain Cook Drive, that goes right by the Endeavor Sports High School.
Yep.
Where you grew up, outside outside Sydney.
Correct.
Right, and it's Brisbane hot out today, right?
Brisbane's obviously north of Sydney.
Yes. There's a thing called the equator, and Australia is in the southern hemisphere, so it's the opposite weather. And as you get closer going north in Australia toward the equator, it gets warmer. Right?
Something you learn every day.
Bingo.
Who thought you'd learn geography here at the Rugby Wrap-Up?
Yes. So, and you're south of Sydney, kind of on the water over there, the bay of something?
Yeah, I'm near Botany Bay. I grew up in Cogra or Ramsgate and went to Endeavour Sports High. And yeah, I suppose you know the rest of the story. Grew up playing rugby league and then moved over to the States. And
Made your debut with the New York Union. Knights.
New York Knights, yeah, it was a good career. Obviously, great organization. Still involved with them in a small capacity at the moment. And then obviously got exposed to Old Blue, and then my I suppose professional career and international career blossomed from there.
Does the number 428 mean anything to you?
Oh. I'm taking it should.
Well, it's pretty much the reason why you're here is number 428. I believe you are Eagle.
Eagle number 428. 428.
You are going to get kangaroo courted, by the way.
Come on, man.
I don't know my exact Eagle number. We go through, actually, you get given your number when we're on tour, but it doesn't happen very regularly. It normally happens once on tour, and I suppose there's 20 or 30 other guys getting their numbers read out, and we're all very close, most of the squad at the moment.
Yeah, whatever. So it must be nice not remembering what number Eagle you are. Right. Thanks, Luke. But speaking of numbers, I think you've got 27 caps as a 15s player and then 13 caps as a 7s player.
Yeah, it's been a good career. I've been very fortunate. Unfortunately, as it's well noted, rugby is obviously a very physical sport, so had a few injuries and missed a few caps, missed a few tours on the seven circuit as well. But
well, it's because you're always constantly playing scrum half, regardless of where you're set up on the field. You're coming in from fullback. No, he's playing fullback today, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, he's at the back of the he's at the base of the ruck. He's taking on the opposing hooker. You don't exactly
try to keep busy around the field.
Yeah.
It can get a little bit boring, if you're stuck on the wing, which is the majority of my 15s caps. But yeah, like I said, I've been very fortunate to play both 7s and 15s for the country, and hoping there's a few more to come.
All right, let's get to Mr. Ken Pape and your bio, Ken.
Extensive.
Yes. Ken Pape, you are a man of service through and through. As a Marine, a husband, a father of three girls, and a grassroots American rugby shaper, if you will. Your impressive American rugby bio includes you as president of the Empire Geographical Union, or Empire GU, head coach of the now formidable Rutgers women's rugby team, the Big Ten Conference's commissioner of women's rugby, and a USA Rugby Congress member.
That is 100% accurate.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
You got involved in the political side of rugby as a player. You contacted the Empire GU board because you wanted to get involved. Fast forward, you became part of the disciplinary committee with Mike Crafton and Gary Huebner. You worked your way up to becoming president. To become a member of USA Rugby Congress, you won one of two seats available to the North Atlantic region. And we're not 100% sure how many regions are in USA Rugby, but the North Atlantic region includes the Empire GU and NERFU, or the New England Rugby Football Union.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And as a result, each one of those gets a Congress member from each one of those unions. Right?
That's correct.
Okay. And you ran for that election. You won that. Since the term limits changed from 1 year to 2 years just recently, you are now running for your third term.
Yes.
Your involvement in rugby is off the pitch is involved as his rugby on the pitch. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the USA Rugby Congress a little bit. And we're going to talk about how a player is kind of affected by the USA Congress and what we can do to help fix. Matt McCarthy with Luke Hume and Ken Pape on Rugby Wrap-Up from Studio 34 on the Fantasy Sports Network. Back after this.
So this is the 10th anniversary of the NYC Rugby Cup, which is hard to believe. It's come a long way. I think we've got over 60 teams here today, and they're all kitted out, representing different teams from across the country. We've always had a theme every year, and this is the culminating event for our partner programs and our community programs that work with us throughout the year to come and showcase their skills and their go-forward attitude as well. So it's super exciting to be celebrating the 10th anniversary. Thanks to AIG and Canterbury for supporting us, all the volunteers, all the sponsors, and especially the staff and volunteers. Some fantastic rugby, lots of sportsmanship, the kids still had a blast. And now, of course, now we've finished, the sun has come out. So that's the way it goes, I guess. Every day's a rugby day.
All right, we are back. Luke Hume, Ken Pape, Matt McCarthy, Rugby Wrap-Up here, Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network. Gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about the USA Rugby Congress. Luke, you have been a sevens player and a 15s player. You now have a congressman sitting next to you. What would you like to see change?
Obviously, one, you know, definitely that springs to mind is around injury. I think that the availability to players at certain levels, I don't know. Obviously, things can get handled a little bit differently depending on who the person is. But I'd like to say without, like, Gary Hevner, obviously, who I believe is still on the board or in a similar capacity with the GU, he was able to help me, but I know it was very difficult when I had a serious injury to get everything to go through with USA Rugby. Obviously, I believe it has to go through the GU first and then through Congress and then through the... I don't know if it goes through the board, but it has to get taken back to USA Rugby. I think I just... a clearer process or to make sure... I know there's a lot of people that have issues with injuries, and obviously in the type of sport that we play, that happens a lot. So that's one thing that I think there could be... I don't know if the process needs to be more clearly defined, but at least a process around that which is more practical for players and means to knowing how to take care of an injury when something does happen on the field.
Ken?
Well, there's a couple pieces to that. First, the availability of those resources. Lucy Zugworth in the USA Rugby National Office handles those things. I think that something we could definitely do is talk with them and have them potentially put some sort of video, you know, on the website so that if somebody gets injured, they could just click to the video and it shows you how to process a claim. It starts with the coach of the team that you're playing for, and then it gets elevated from there. I agree with you. I think there's a couple too many steps in there. I think that has to get streamlined a little bit. But I think having some sort of a video to help the member, like yourself, get sorted out, I think that would be the best approach for that.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of ambiguity from even like club coaches and things around like, oh, well, what is a process? Yeah. Like, I know that I had Gary help me out, which is fortunate. But I know the first time when I got injured, which was a while ago, when I first came to the States, there was absolutely no idea where does it go through, what's approved, what's not approved. So I just think, you know, we need to protect our players. Obviously, it's important, especially for parents. The grassroots program we have coming through, you know, rugby is seen as a violent sport where it's, in my opinion, a lot more safer than, you know, the likes of football and things with the concussions and problems that they have. So, you know, we don't have those many issues, but we still have injuries from time to time. I think if we can make sure that the resources or clear definitions around availability to injuries are defined, I think that goes a long way for young parents, and that's, you know, the audience we're targeting.
So one of the things that the Empire GU is, to get away from the Congress a little bit, we enacted a emergency action plan for all, you know, all teams inside the GU, and it's a requirement. That was one of the things we worked on this year. Inside of there, it actually details what happens if. So Luke Hume gets injured, then what? And it's a walkthrough process. So you'll have phone numbers and everything available in this binder. You know, the other thing, if you remember back to the tragedies that happened up in Saranac the last couple of years, we had a gentleman pass away during an old boys match. There was no AED available. He had a heart attack on the field.
Yeah.
There was an AED. It wasn't charged.
He was playing.
I was playing for the old breed, the Marine Corps old breed.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack during the match.
And his son was there.
His son was there, his wife, his daughter, the whole family was there. Here's where it gets nasty. The AED that they had inside the emergency vehicle was not charged and ready to go. Marines jumped and attempted to save this man's life.
That's CPR. That's the equipment, right?
Right. Yeah. They put the patches on you and they shock you.
Yeah.
It wasn't charged.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Empire GU has done is we've asked that part of the medical requirement is at every game that you have a trainer, an athletic trainer, and have AED available.
Yeah, that's one thing that I know we carry around one for the national team. It's the orange box that goes
Let's hope you guys don't have to use it. But Kent, circling back to the Congress, you've pointed out to me, we've talked about this extensively, you've pointed out that there are problems with the structural organization of the Congress, specifically committees.
Matt, it's really interesting. The Congress, everyone has this assumption that the USA Rugby Congress oversees the committee structure. The Congress actually has nothing to do with the committees, except that the committees are actually populated mainly by Congress people. Unfortunately, we have the same committee members serving on multiple committees. So an example is we have 11 people serving on two committees. We've got six people serving.
And this is 46 Congress members, correct?
There's 46 Congress members, I believe. 11 of them are currently serving on two. We have nine folks serving on three. And we have one person serving on four committees. You know, the question I've continued to ask at Congress is, if we have people in multiple committees, how are they possibly providing any oversight to the committees that they're a part of? So if for example, if Luke is having an eligibility issue, he puts in a waiver. First, he has to pay a $1,500 fee, which is ludicrous. He pays this fee, it gets elevated, then the CSC gets involved. Now, here's the crazy part. We've got
What's the CSC?
The Club Strategic Committee. So three or four of the people that are a member of the Eligibility Committee are also on the CSC, the Club Strategic Committee. So now if they had voted down Luke's request for an eligibility waiver, those same people would hear his appeal, which to me doesn't add up.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have folks not on multiple committees.
So tell me that the people on the Oversight Committee aren't on committees.
They are.
How many people are on the Oversight Committee?
So the Club Strategic Committee, which is basically the committee that oversees all of the committees that were actually created by Alan Sharpley and populated. Alan Sharpley populated the chairmans of those committees. There are, like I said, there's 11 people serving in two, nine people serving in three, and one person serving in four. Alan Sharpley serves on four committees. He's the chairman of the CSC. So he's providing oversight to himself when he makes a ruling about himself.
Okay, well, I think we've pretty much figured out what the problem is in a way. I mean, no offense, but, you know.
They're just like one.
Are people not, devil's advocate, are people not volunteering to be on the committees?
That's 100% inaccurate. 3 years ago when I joined the Congress, I raised my hand and said, I want to be a part of anything.
Anybody else raising their hand?
Tons. So I could tell you right now, there's an email chain going around post the last rugby wrap-up show where people are saying, hey, I want to be involved. I want to be involved. How do I get involved? There's just no movement. It's unfortunate. There's no diversity in those groups. We need to provide diversity inside of these groups. And I'll just give you one really quick example because I know we're short on time. But there's a player that played for NIAC.
Yes.
That player played in the fall, transferred to Penn State to play his college rugby, then wanted to come back and play for NIAC in the postseason. Now, he had played, he had met the requirements to play.
So this is a college player playing up a level to play for NIAC.
Isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
Don't we want these players?
Oh, and he was penalized coming back?
They did not pass his eligibility.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they did not approve that. Yet, people who hadn't played a single competitive match, did not meet the minimum requirements for eligibility, applied for waivers, and were given them. For example, there is people on Congress and on the board that didn't play a single match this past year, put in a waiver for the eligibility, and were approved and fast-tracked and were able to... they pushed it through.
Yeah.
So here we got a kid that's doing everything he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
He meets all the requirements. And then we have...
Luke, is it true that because he's an AC guy, that you had something to do with it as an old blue guy?
No comment.
No comment. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for our last segment with these guys. These things just fly by, but we'll be back for our last segment with these fellas just after this.
Well, hello, mate. It's good that we buried the hatchet there.
Yeah, well, you know, sort of.
Yeah. Sorry about that little nick there you got. And
hey, listen, I look at you now and I forgive you. Hey?
Yeah, it means a lot here. Right. And I'll take it home with me and I'll be able to show a picture here to my my grandchildren there. Us together burying the hatchet there. I appreciate it.
Right, I know. That's cheesy.
Anyway, right, you're good, safe back right. Home then, and I'll see you.
All right, we're back. Matt McCarthy, Luke Hume, Kent Pape. Luke was told during the break by our producer, Greg, to lower his microphone so you could see his face. Ken and I agree that he's the eye candy here, and he makes me easily the second best looking bald.
That's a bit of a worry if I'm the eye candy, but I'll take it.
Yeah,
thanks.
Why not, right? Well, it depends on the crowd, right? It's all relative.
That's it.
Ken, the Congress for USA Rugby is responsible for approval of dues increases, bylaw changes, and board accountability. Let's go to board accountability because it covers a couple of different issues. It covers finances. The organization is in disarray in a way. Talk about the accountability aspect of Congress with the board.
So part of the board accountability piece is us approving or disallowing Congress members. Board members. So currently we have a couple positions opened up, and Marnie Vath is in charge of the nominations committee. She's going to bring to us a slate of people that she would like us to approve. So that piece is part of the board accountability. Now, more importantly, the board accountability. For example, we had an over $1 million overspend. So that would be a board accountability issue.
$800,000 in high performance?
$800,000 in high performance. And I'll just point out, at the last Congress meeting, I myself went and asked Alex McElby during the meeting on the record, what's going on here? How can we possibly overspend $800,000? And he says he was receiving approvals. Now, my piece to that is we have a committee that's specific to this, and it's the audit committee. And when these things start to come up, when we start to run high or running over budget, those folks have to then let the board know, listen, we're going over budget, and then the board needs to activate and get involved.
Not doing that?
No. Well, last year they certainly did not.
Is the gentleman that's on the oversight committee also on the...
The audit committee. I don't think he is.
Okay. All right.
I don't think
he is. That's a good
start.
Any people on the oversight committee on the audit committee?
Yes. Yes. There are, I believe there's one. And the oversight committee is the club strategic committee. You know, the accountability piece is, and you actually said it in your last meeting, we have folks on Congress, you know, 2 and 3 years now, and they show up, and I'll just tell you from experience, there's not a lot of participation. When Alex announced that we went over budget, in high performance over $800,000, there wasn't a peep from Congress. Nobody said anything. So of course I'm kind of the black sheep of Congress. I raised my hand. I'm like, hey, before we just zoom over this, how is that possible? And then people started to ask questions, but we have these supposed monthly Congress calls. We're only getting about 50% attendance, really low international representation. We could use Luke on some of these committees. We're not getting a lot of participation. And those that are on the calls, they don't participate. It's the same 3-4 guys that are and gals that are getting on these Congress calls and actually participating.
So how does somebody I went on the site, and I'm on Firefox as my browser. And as soon as I clicked the button to see the people that are on Congress, it disappears.
Yep.
It flashes and disappears.
Yep.
I haven't had to
make this up.
Yeah,
I have iOS and
you
I
have
and
the
I,
board. The board shows up, but Congress, we're gone. Shows names, no pictures, and then the list.
A little
of
bizarre.
Names
I mean, it's probably a glitch that it's easily fixed, but it doesn't lend a lot of confidence.
No.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure if I'll make a call right after this, and I'll call over to there and
which
ask,
committee are you going to call?
I'm just going to call USA Rugby directly. Eric Geib has been tremendous. He's a great asset for USA Rugby. He's the club department manager, and he also oversees, I believe, the IT department. I could be wrong about that.
Well, listen, as a website guy, I know that you know, little things can happen, slip through the cracks. It's probably an easy fix.
Yeah, but our members have to be able to activate and be able to talk to their Congress folks.
And you should be able to see whose election is up and who's what seats are available. Maybe you want to run, especially if you want to get involved in that
regard. Of course.
I just want to point out one more thing about board accountability that blew my mind. And Luke, being a part of the 15s and 7s programs, I'm sure you'd appreciate. Did you know that last year that we had $1.3 million budgeted for men's 15s program? When we went into Congress and Alex presented these budgets for the men's HP, it's $1.3 million. Did you know that the women's budget was $350,000?
And they were going into a World Cup.
They're going into a World Cup.
I can tell
cycle.
You that the budget, if it must have significantly decreased considering the facilities that the men's national team was staying in on this tour that's
currently
happening right now.
Careful.
Just for the record, they were supposed to stay at Rutgers, but we just couldn't.
Yeah,
we couldn't get it worked
but
out.
What like, if we want to go about professional organizations and being treated as a professional organization, then the men's national team, and I'm very, very, very vocal about this, the men's national team and the women's national team are the focal point of the organization for all of rugby in this country. I know that they want to spend a lot of money and put a lot of money into grassroots. I 100% agree with it. But you need to take care of what is the image of the sport. And at the moment, what's being shown on television is the national teams.
So you
need to take care of them first, because that's
absolutely
how you get the people in. You won't get the people in if you don't show the sport.
That's a good point.
And you don't get the audience. So take care of home base first, then invest in the grassroots. They're not doing that. That's what and I know they're not doing that with the sevens teams either, because
right,
they get played absolute peanuts.
Well, I could come up with the obvious reason is there is no money.
That's not true, though. There is money.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's definitely money.
There's definitely money there.
I don't know where it is, but there is money. Put it this way, I know enough people that are passionate enough about rugby, even in the Northeast, that would invest copious amounts of money to USA Rugby to make sure that the national teams had appropriate facilities, let's say,
yeah,
to stay in when they're on tour.
Yeah.
Or for the boys that are on the Sevens tour, you know, I won't go into what they get paid, but it's to be on site down there in Chula Vista
what they need.
But they're getting paid though, right? The women's national team, when they're in camp, does not get paid.
Pretty.
Yeah. So I understand the history of that meeting is that you actually got the women some more money.
So I got to tell you, you know, a lot of people get all over Dan Payne, and I got to say, I'm a big Dan supporter. And,
me too.
And I got to tell you, we're in Congress when Alex presented $350,000 for women. You know, in the previous 2 years, I had asked Alex, hey, are we planning for the World Cup? Are we planning for the World Cup? Last year, our budget for the women was $350,000 as well. He said, yes, absolutely. In the World Cup year, we'll get more money. When I raised my hand and I brought it to everyone's attention that this can't happen. We can't spend $1.3 million on men and $350,000 on women. Dan Payne stood up with me and he said, Ken, we are going to fix this wrong. And we've raised over $550,000. We've raised it from $350,000 to $550,000. You know, it's not exactly where we want to be, but it's a start, isn't it?
It's almost twice the amount.
It's almost twice the amount. I mean,
right.
and I got to say, a lot of that came from Dan making phone calls. You know, he had the Congress behind him because I rallied the Congress. We got Phaedra Knight involved. I got to tell you, Dan Payne is a big supporter of equality and equity for the women's game.
All right. On that note, we're going to close this segment, and I want to thank both of you coming on. But first, I want to thank you for your service to your country.
Thank you.
And also, I want to point out, speaking of money, the Rutgers women's team raised $35,000 to be able to play in the Big Ten. And the rest of that story, which we don't have time for right now, is the Big Ten teams welcoming them in, sharing their dorm rooms or whatever, putting them up.
It was a great
rugby
program.
Story.
It's a great rugby story for another day.
Rutgers women, good on you. Matt McCarthy for Luke Hume and Kent Pape for Rugby Wrap-Up here at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network, signing off.